Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
As I was in worship tonight, I heard the scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And whenever I hear that scripture, it rings home to me because I've been there. And sometimes people tend to want to stay. I'm gonna quote it. That's actually, I'm in Genesis 2. I'm all over the place tonight. That's actually a proverb. And it's proverb, I think it's 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but there's always a but. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. And I find it interesting the way the writer wrote this. He didn't say a dream fulfilled is the tree of life, but hope deferred makes you sick. You know, I thank him for the way of the writing, of the order of the writing, because there's hope and encouragement in the Word of God. And I know there's some older saints in here who have, when I say older, saved longer than a day, okay? And so you know some of the promises that God has spoke into your life. And as the clock turns, as the seasons change, and the promises that you heard God speak to you, sometimes it's easy to fall prey to a fiery dart that the enemy sends to say, well, I guess you missed it. That wasn't God. Or, well, the season's over and it's just not going to happen. Or the other one is, well, I thought that was the Lord, but, you know, I'm tired of waiting and I'm going to go on with my plan B. Or the other one is, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm really hurt that the promise didn't come. And so I'm just going to get busy and do my own thing in the name of God. Or, well, I'm waiting on God. When it's time, it'll happen. I've done all I can do. Now, I know he's talking to everybody in here, and he's talking differently, and I love how he does that. And if you feel like a little, in your heart, like, you know, I remember reading that scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick, and I remember hearing teachings on it, and hallelujah, the tree of life, waters, victory. Well, where are the victories? What the heck? Did I miss it? And I'm here to tell you God's Word, what God's Word says, and I just find it so encouraging. And so, as I was, when he was giving me the scripture tonight, he reminded me of Abraham, back when God was going to, just torch Sodom and Gomorrah. He was just going to go torch it. He's like, that's enough, I'm done. But he said, I'm going to go talk to my friend Abraham, because he's going to, you know, he's got some say in all this. And so they talked together, and what I find amazing is God told him his plan, and Abraham said, you know, if I can find 50 righteous, I don't know, it's 50, 40, 30, 20, and it goes down to, you know, 10, will you spare? And he's like, yeah. And here's the thing, in that, that's actually in Genesis, and I don't have it anymore because I do have it. It's Genesis 18. I just find this amazing because there's no other person, there's no God like our God where you can say, hey, will you do it? Will you do it if this? Yeah, well, okay. Excuse me, don't shoot fire at me and burn me up because I know I'm just a man, but would you do it for this? Well, okay, you said yeah to that. Would you do it for this? God wants us to challenge him with his word. He wants us to, this is an example of, hey, in your word, you know, it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. What's up, God? That's a promise in the Word of God, and I'm not seeing limbs grow out. What, did I miss it? Am I supposed to be doing something else? Oh, well, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I guess I'll... Now, I'm just using this as an example, and it's not anybody specific. I guess I'll go paint houses. I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at you, but it's like, okay, wax on, wax off, or I guess I'll go, you know, plant a garden. You know, God, His Word is alive. And when you connect in the Spirit with His Word and challenge Him, He actually delights in that. And for too long, we've been casual Christians, just, you know, okay, we're going to church Sunday, we're going to church Wednesday, we got youth group on Thursday, we got prayer meeting on Tuesday, you know, here I am again. There's this thing, we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in the cycle of do. It's very easy. And it's important, because when you're in the cycle of do, you're in the flesh. Whether you want to call it that or not, you're in the flesh, okay? And what does it say? In the flesh, there's no good thing. Dwells no good thing. The good thing, the meat, the substance of heaven isn't through doing things. It's not through works. You know, we have the example of Martha and Mary. You know, there's so many examples in Scripture. And I want to, I'm shaking us tonight. I'm shaking every one of us tonight. And you know, I'll tell on myself because I always do. You guys know that. I just came back from a little bit of rest, and I was so looking forward to it, and because I've been putting in some long hours. I'm just coming to an end of a major project, a physical project, and I was just looking forward to just resting in God and just, you know, looking at water and having my feet up, and we drive in late and get in, and there's a strange odor. That's never good. And I thought, I don't care. I don't care about no strange odor. I'm not looking. I don't care. And all of a sudden, squish, 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 you know, on the carpet. And so the plumbing had sprung a leak. And thank you, Lord, it had only been a couple weeks that it had been leaking. So it only went through half the house instead of the whole house. But my response was, I can't take another thing. I just want to go to a hotel. And that was my flesh. And then I'm like, Lord, I need your help. And as soon as I said, Lord, I need your help, His help came. And I looked at it and I thought, okay, so it's the faucet. I'll shut the water off. That can't be too hard. You know, and then I'm like, it's just carpet. I pull up the carpet. It's just the sink base. I just take that out. And I don't have any tools because I'm not supposed to be working, so so it was quite interesting. But I want to tell you something. As I was working on this, I was able to pull on God for His grace to help me get through this horrible situation, which was really enemy sent, to rob me of resting in God. Now, I could have chose to whine and kick and scream and probably, you know, break a tool or something, or, you know, just something, throw a temper tantrum. But when you have enough trials, see, everybody goes through trials, and it's how we handle the little trials that determine the course of our action or the peace that we walk in. And I've been through floods before. This was nothing. And so what I'm saying is practice in the little ones, pulling on the grace of God to help you stand strong against your flesh. Because if you engage in your flesh, the enemy gets an inroad, and he's able to rob you of your peace. And so, you know, I worked pretty late that night and got things, you know, aired out. And I made a decision that I don't care about any of it. And I'm not fixing any of it. And I'm just going to rest, because that's what God told me to do. And everything kind of just worked its way out. You know, I really only had a night of work, and the rest was just, you know, I don't know. But I'm telling you, I want to say this because it's very easy to get caught up in a cycle. And God is actually wanting us to become aware of the cycles of the flesh that rob us from the peace of God. And even in prayer time, now you might think this is a horrible thing to say, but sometimes our prayer time becomes mechanical. And when it becomes mechanical, it's the flesh. And so I have to check myself. I have to be careful. You know, I do dishes and I do clean and stuff. And sometimes I have to do it while I'm praying. And I can do both, one of the flesh and one of the spirit. But be careful that you don't constantly do both. There's a balance in the spirit. And so, you know, I see this. I don't know how I'm going to say this, but I was praying with Holly a while back, and we both saw this huge explosion in the spirit. And we both saw it and knew it was for the body of Christ. And we were praying on it, and we saw it happen in the spirit, but we didn't see it manifest yet. And it's very easy to go, oh, we just missed it, but we both saw it. We were both praying in different places and both saw it, compared notes. And so it's easy to say, oh, well, when God decides, you know, he'll release it. We can't throw the responsibility back into God's lap when he's told us to rule and reign, steward the earth, subdue it. And so I see this emerging of, this is what I'm seeing. I am seeing like fresh virgin babies learning to go into a deeper realm of power and authority in the spirit as they crack out of the shell of the flesh, which so easily entangles us. And so I feel like the season we're in is, you know, it's so easy to get in a routine, isn't it? Some people just love routines. Some people get up with, you know, at 7:02 every morning and go to bed at 10:05 and drink their coffee at 8:15, have their bowel movement at 7:42, and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but be careful that you are not enclosed in the chaos, even though it seems normal, even though you feel comfortable in it. Is that what God wants for you? It's so easy to build the walls of, this is how I always do it. I always read out of the guidepost, or I always, you know, do my devotional while I'm on the toilet, whatever, you know. I'm telling you, there's a shaking that's taking place for those who want to be shook. Now, when I was driving home after a wonderful rest, I didn't want to come back. You know, when you get so rested, you don't want to come back. And I'm like, maybe one more day. and the Lord said, no, you need to go home tonight. And I'm like, okay. So I'm driving home, and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot easier to hear him when you're in a rested place, isn't it? When you're buzzing along and doing all your things, it's hard to hear him. And so I'm driving home, and I'm looking forward to this drive because I want to pray in the Spirit, and I want to see his goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so I want to see his goodness. And so I am actively meditating while I'm driving on God's goodness. And I'm driving, and the Lord says to me, are you a little disappointed? Now, I know God, and when he says something like that, I'm not going to say, oh, no. I said, am I? Sometimes we don't even know we're disappointed because we just go, oh, well, on to the next thing, oh, well, chop my leg off, keep going, you know, oh, well, my arm, chop my arm off, keep going. You know, you learn as in the kingdom to not let the enemy hold you back. But be careful that your emotions are not entangled in the promises of God that have not manifested yet. So obviously I had an issue that I didn't even know about, and I love that. I love, you know, the scriptures, Proverbs talk about it. You know, correction is good. I love correction. Some people get so offended when you say, hey, you know, you got a booger in your nose, you know. You got a spirit that needs to go, or, you know, you stink. Me, if I stink, please tell me. I want to know. I want to know because I don't want to do anything that is not pleasing to the Lord. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen glazed over Christians and possibly myself at times where a word is released and they don't even take it. They don't even receive it. I'm going to just give you an example. A young man working for me. And he's in and out, you know, sinning and unsinning, and I'm not judging. I'm just doing what the Lord tells me to do. And he's got a lot of bad stuff happening to him. And to me, that's a no-brainer. When you step into the enemy's camp, you're going to get clobbered. It's not that God is clobbering you. It's the enemy, because you're out from underneath the protection of God, because you're visiting Sodom and Gomorrah, so to speak. So I'm praying on how to deal with this, and the guy calls me and he says, my battery's dead again. I can't make it to work. And I'm like, what doors do you have open? He replies back the next day and says, the front passenger or whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's worse than I thought. And I'm like, do I say something? And so you can't just say anything. You got to pray and ask the Lord, what should I say? Because he's concerned about every soul. He's not concerned if they show up for work. He's concerned about the soul. And so, in the condition of their heart. And so I'm like, oh boy. And I'm like, so I prayed about it and I sent back a nice response and said, I wasn't talking about your car. And, you know, I'm just saying, it's easy to miss the little things because of the foxes. The little, oh, I got to hurry and go, oh, I got to, oh, Facebook, oh, I got to send a text. I was sitting there yesterday listening to all the bird sounds, all the different sounds, and I thought, boy, I haven't done that in a long time. You know, it was kind of amazing. You know, and I think some people do this every day, you know, and some people do it as a routine. I'm doing it spontaneous. I'm just saying, how do we know that we're crusty or not crusty? That kid didn't know it. When God corrects me, he's like, are you feeling a little disappointed? I'm thinking about what? Thinking, what? I did pretty well with the water issue. What are you talking about? He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about promises he made to me years ago. And so I'm driving and I'm talking and I'm like, you're right. I am a little disappointed. I'm so sorry. I didn't even know I was disappointed. Please forgive me. You are good. You are always good. And I started to build up the well of praise, adoration, and worship of how good he is. I've got it really good. And I'm worshiping him. And then I said, but by the way, I think I am a little disappointed. And I know it's not your fault, but your word says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, set the captives free. I want to see the dead raised. And not because I want to be used, but because your word says it. And if one of my friends dies prematurely, they're coming back. They're coming back. If you call them home, different story, and I've had that happen. People get together, oh, so-and-so's, come, let's pray at the hospital. Lord, what do you say? No, they want to go home. Okay, done. You know, I don't pray in agreement with man. I pray with agreement of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm saying this because there's this, I'm just going to go here. One more second. I sure wish I had a pocket. Y'all should read Proverbs 13 tonight. Here's another one. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command will succeed. There's one about pride, too, that I really like. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag. But anyway, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. A dream fulfilled is God manifesting through you. The tree of life, its roots can't be shaken. When the winds blow and the storms come and circumstances happen, the floods, power out, whatever, that tree never moves because it's deeply rooted in God. It's deeply rooted in the soil of God. It's drinking from Him. Drinking from Him. The nutrients of heaven are what will sustain us. They're what will feed us. We'll never go hungry. Remember when Jesus says, I have food you don't know of. His friends say, hey, you hungry? Let's go have some burgers. He's like, I already ate. And they're like, what? taste and see that the Lord is good. There is more happening in the spirit realm, and God is desiring for us to come out of the cycle, this wheel, this turning thing, like hamsters, and he's waiting for us to jump out, call on him, and he's going to show us marvelous and spectacular things in the heavenlies to bring back and release into the earth. And that's for every born-again, spirit-filled believer. Everyone. None of us earn it. But how do you do it? By abiding in the presence. By drinking of his goodness. As a deer pants for water, my soul. How does that go? What is it? Say it. Longs for you. You know, does your soul long for him? Or is your soul so busy with the lists and the kids and the job and the projects and friendships? You know, I was talking to the Lord. Well, this has been ongoing, but you remember that song that Keith Green wrote? Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Keen, I want you to key that up. We're not going to play it yet. But in that song, you know, Keith, for those of you that don't know him, I've never met him, but I got to see some YouTubes. He was an evangelist, and he was so gifted. And one night, late at night, he's like, what happened to me? What happened to me? I want my heart to be like soft baby skin again. Something happened, and it does happen. Life hits. I'm not saying it doesn't. Life tries to take us out. The earth tries to control us and manipulate us. The demons want us under their subjection. I get all that. But there's this thing that God put inside every one of us, and it's a desire that can only be fulfilled in communion with him, oneness in him, fellowship in him. In him I move and have my being. In him. In him. That's not like maybe when I die and go to heaven. That's today. That's for every one of us. And so as the days go on and time, you know, takes its toll and gray hairs come and kids grow and people die and all that stuff, I want you to find the original with his prayer before it, if you can, Kina. It, where he's talking about how he got the song. He wrote it late at night. He was just, you know, Lord, I want to be a baby again. I want to be a baby Christian again. I don't want to be a know-it-all. Who's the know-it-all in here? Who always goes to the know-it-all? You know, there's always a know-it-all. And we rely on the know-it-all. But I'm going to tell you something. Plastic compared to knowing him. That's a crutch. The truth is we have the opportunity to drink from the vine of heaven like a baby with an umbilical cord. It is a real spiritual happening. It can happen. And so we don't talk about it because, oh, it sounds so weird. But who says it sounds weird? Where did that come from? Could it be the enemy that started that rumor? Could it be the religious spirits that fueled that rumor? Like praying in tongues. Oh, that's of the devil. Really? It's all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture. So I'm challenging you to take a look at what's going on, because there's people in here who are disappointed. Here's what the Lord said to me. Contend for it. Contend for it. Contend for it. So that doesn't mean, okay, I'll pray today, I won't tomorrow. It doesn't mean I'll fast and I'll get sidetracked and then I'll remember to fast and come back. All Jesus wants is a personal prayer from our heart. He just wants us to recognize that we're a wreck and we can't do it without him. We weren't designed to. You know, they talk about stuff of the earth. It's going to rust and decay and fall away. But anything that's made in God, of God, or by God will stand for eternity. And even after we pass, you know, into glory. And, you know, we know great ministries that they've gone home to the Lord, but because it was birthed by God, through God, is God, it still stands today, even though that saint who stewarded what the Lord had for him to steward, they went home. And that is a picture of the legacy for every one of us. We all have a legacy. We all have a mandate. Now, Keith was an evangelist, and it was all about souls. And every one of us has different giftings. And so it may not be souls for one, but it might be visiting the widows and the orphans and the kids, or feeding programs, or, you know, casting out devils, or raising the sick, raising the dead and healing the sick, or workplace ministry, or in-home ministry, raising your family. But it's all legacy. If it's birthed in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, and about Christ. And you know what? There's always a little veering because we are flesh bodies. That's why it's important. If we find we're a little rusty or crusty, it's okay. Lord, here I am again. Help me. I strayed a little bit. Will you help me? I just want to please you. I know I got cares and worries and concerns, but I somehow they got ahead of you, and here I am again, Lord. Help me. I just want to steward your presence. I just want to worship you. I just want to rest in your presence. Teach me your word. Teach me the way. And when you start talking to him like that, you're his kid, and he's going to lead and guide us in all truth. That's his nature. He's not the one that gives the old holy smack. You know, he doesn't do that. He only gives love. He only knows love. Judgment went on the cross. Now, that's not a license to sin or backslide or any of that. But we call on his grace. We call on his grace to help us. I know there's people in here struggling physically with physical ailments right now. We call on the grace of God to restore and heal every body part that is out of order. We command it to come back in order. We command it to come back in order. Bones line up. Tissues line up. Eyesight be renewed. Inflammation go. Inflammation go in the name of Jesus. Blood sugar levels regulate, normalize right now by the word of God. Tissue, skin tissue. I command healing to come forth right now. Tissue, mend together, be whole. Cell regrowth. I'm looking into a hole, and it looks like it's a financial disaster. It's a hole of financial disaster, lots of debt. And right now, I command that hole to close up in the name of Jesus, and I release the blessings of the Lord into your life. I command the dam that's been held to prevent the blessings. I break that dam right now in the name of Jesus, and I release the kingdom of God financially in those areas right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I heard the word stewardship, financial stewardship. I love this. Father, right now I pray for a Holy Ghost encounter with financial stewardship. Teach us about the kingdom, the wealth of the kingdom, and how to steward it. Shandele corto sititi. New business, open. I see a new business with the sign and it's closed. I see open in the name of Jesus. Open in the name of Jesus. I just saw three pop. Bum, bum, bum. Thank you, Lord. Shato, kitulamba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's a weird one. I see a car, and I command lubrication to every nut and bolt and rusty spot on that car right now in the name of Jesus. Loosen, and I command rust to be removed in the name of Jesus and replaced with the original metals in Jesus' name. I don't know who that's for. Father, I'm asking you to help us stay in you, stay true to you, and stay true to the call that you put in our lives. I know we go through seasons, and right now I just ask for proper alignment. If any of us have missed it or got strayed or delayed, I'm asking for a Holy Ghost reset into original position, original intent, just as you commanded and demanded in Jesus' name. And I just heard the Lord say, the devil is a liar. And right now, I break the works of the devil over our lives in Jesus' name. I break the effects of the words spoke that are demonic over our lives. I break every word curse. I put it under the blood of the Lamb. Under the blood of the Lamb. And we come out of agreement with those word curses right now. We sever it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord, I ask you to help us stay strong in you, attend to you. I heard him say, attend to me and I'll attend to your needs. I ask you to help us with that, sir. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.